This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Preaching the Word of God is part and parcel of being a Christian. Everyone needs to hear the good news, but what about people who can't hear at all? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has been involved in helping spread the gospel to the deaf for decades. It all began in 1944 at the LCMS Saginaw Convention, when a resolution commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Synod's ministry to the deaf was passed to raise funds to establish an East Coast school for the deaf. Lutheran Friends of the Deaf was incorporated in 1947. 2 years later, the organization purchased an 86-acre manor. In 1951, the Milneck Manor Lutheran School opened to 19 deaf boys and girls. American Sign Language is taught and used to help spread the gospel to those who cannot hear it. I speak with Milneck Family of Organizations President and CEO Michael Killian and Deaf Missions Facilitator Deaconess Tiffany Manor about how they bring the Word of God to those who cannot hear it.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. A Planned Parenthood clinic in South Carolina faces state fines for improper disposal of aborted baby parts. The proposed fines range from $2,200 to $21,150 for violating state disposal regulations. Two other abortion clinics in the state and two waste disposal companies also face fines for failing to dispose of the remains of aborted babies in a manner required by law. However, the largest fine would be against Planned Parenthood, according to a newspaper report. Jenny Black, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood South Atlantic, said in a November 12th statement that the organization's officials were, in her words, surprised and dismayed to learn of a monetary penalty they knew nothing about. There's nothing unconstitutional about displaying "In God We Trust" on law enforcement vehicles, says Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Paxton submitted an official opinion to Texas State Senator Charles Perry last week, arguing that the display of the national motto by the Childress Texas Police Department and other law enforcement does not violate the Establishment Clause of the Constitution. Displaying "In God We Trust" on police vehicles is a passive use of a motto steeped in our nation's history that does not coerce citizen approval or participation, Paxton's letter read. The controversy over the "In God We Trust" on law enforcement vehicles ballooned late last September after the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent more than 60 letters to police departments and sheriff's offices around the country. The organization is demanding the removal of the national motto from law enforcement vehicles, alleging that such display violates the Establishment Clause of the Constitution. The Radisson Blue Hotel in the African nation of Mali was stormed by special forces troops after Islamic gunmen entered it and seized 170 people, many of them foreign guests. Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and its offshoot, Al-Mirabatan, say that they carried out the attack, according to the agency used by jihadists in the region. An unnamed UN official said that at least 27 people have been killed. The official, who spoke on condition of anonymity, said that 12 bodies were found in the basement and 15 were found on the second floor. It's not clear if this includes two of the attackers who are reported to have died. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
That's what we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us, live, streaming, archived.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
I'm Kip Allen, host for World Lutheran News Digest. Today, I have guests who deal with biblical matters and spreading the gospel to the hard of hearing. Could you introduce yourselves and tell me a little bit about your organization? First, you, sir.
My name is Mike Killian. I am president and CEO of the Milneck family of organizations, which includes Lutheran Friends of the Deaf, and that is our ministry arm. We own and operate a school for the deaf in Milneck, New York. A lot of our fans know us as Milneck. And in addition to that, we also have our services division and our foundation, which prints and distributes literature all over the world. We're releasing fairly soon our newest book, Jesus Heals the Deaf Man. And it is a beautiful piece that will come with a companion DVD that has instructional sign language in it, in addition to the artwork and the instructional story, both in English and in ASL.
And we have a deaconess here. And what is your role with the organization?
Yeah, I'm Deaconess Tiffany Maynor, and I am a deaf missions facilitator with Lutheran Friends of the Deaf, which is, of course, a Milneck organization. I get to support and work with the congregations and schools who are interested in serving the deaf in their community, get to talk with people about an awareness of deaf culture and what like how to break communication barriers down so that they can really connect with the whole body of Christ, including the members of the body of Christ who are deaf and hard of hearing.
And you, I'm sorry, please.
I am Lindsay Blair, and I am a grant writer for the Milneck family of organizations.
And a grant writer. And I'd like to point out also that this is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So we have a very strong connection with you people.
Absolutely. We are LCMS.
I first became aware of services ministries to the deaf when I was a teenager, more years ago than I care to admit. But I was at my church, Concordia Lutheran Church in Kirkwood here, and we had invited a deaf choir from a congregation. And they came in, and I remember them signing Rock of Ages while our choir backed them up vocally. And it was one of the most moving things I had ever seen. It was amazing. And it's one of those services, I never even thought about that. One thing just to preach the gospel, but to sing? Wow.
You know, so often people will say in congregations that it's just visually a beautiful language. And even if they don't understand American Sign Language, they like to watch it when there are deaf choirs or an interpreter signing at a worship service. They like just the visual element. You can see the gospel, the theological signs, and that adds meaning to even those who are hearing.
It is beautiful. There was a YouTube video that went viral about a year or so ago about a couple in a car, and she was actually an ASL interpreter. And they were engaged to get married, and he learned ASL simply for her sake. And they were singing from Greece.
I saw that, yeah. It was fun.
We had about 3 weeks ago, Sean Forbes, who is a deaf rap artist from Detroit, and it was the second visit to our campus, and we have 100 to 150 students there. And the end product is a video a lot like you're describing. And if you visit our website, you may be able to catch a glimpse of it. They did it last year, shot on the campus to the tune of a very popular song. So popular, in fact, that I don't even remember the name of it.
Shut Up and Dance.
Shut Up and Dance.
Yeah,
if you want to get a sense of what you're talking about, yeah, Shut Up and Dance. It was a wonderful, uplifting thing.
We're showing our age, you know.
Our website is just simply, it's the www.milneck.com. milneck.org.
And that's M-I-L-L-N-E-C-K, Milneck.
All not together. Neck. Milneck. Yeah, Milneck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're from the East Coast. We have a little different slang.
Yeah, I noticed. I used to live in New York many, many years ago, actually in Manhattan. Wake up to the morning, the music, the birds coughing, and look out the window, see the next apartment building. I'm so glad I'm out of there.
Long Island is distinctly different than what you're describing. It's very scenic. We have 87 acres right on the water in Milneck, and it is a beautiful place to be.
Well, describe to me in more detail, you know, how you reach out. How did you get the idea to do this, and how did you reach out to this group that desperately needs the ministry?
Circa 1947, I guess our roots go back that long, when the LCMS made a commitment to deaf ministry. So if you can picture this in your minds, a group of lay people and clergy sitting around a table, probably smoking cigars and drinking some scotch, saying, we should take this seriously. And with that, one thing leads to the next. They mortgaged their homes to buy this beautiful estate in Milneck. It was the 34-room mansion of, at the time, the highest paid woman executive in the United States. Her name was Lillian Sefton Dodge. No relation to the Carr family, but she was a cosmetic heiress. In fact, a cosmetic genius, because she took over a floundering company when she married her second husband and turned it into a multi-million-dollar business. And she understood marketing. If cosmetics were available to the average woman, you would do well. So she cut deals with W.T. Grants and Woolworths and sold cosmetics. And she built this beautiful home in Milneck, New York. So she would leave Manhattan and come to the island. And over a period of 4 years, they ended up with what is now a historic home. Family decides to sell it, and these group of lay people and clergy buy it. And in 1951, they opened a residential school for deaf children. And from those early, very humble beginnings, it has grown into an international ministry today focused on bringing the gospel message to the deaf. And with that, if I can just add, not only do we run a school, we have an early childhood center. We have a postgraduate operation called Milneck Services, which provides job placement for the deaf. We've grown into other disabilities. We have the LFD, which is our ministry, and then the foundation, which produces and distributes a lot of the literature that we were talking about earlier.
Do you have centers outside of New York?
We do not. Our headquarters is in New York. We have operations as far away as Macau, China, but our official headquarters is in Milneck, New York.
Well, you mentioned also an international ministry here. How do we handle that? I'm assuming that ASL does not work with non-English speakers. Is that correct?
Well, it depends on the sign language in the region. For instance, this summer in August, we had some staff members. I was along in Ethiopia. We were visiting at the invitation of the Mekana Yesus church body and working relationship with the LCMS. And we were at a worship service for deaf people. And we thought we were going to have to be working through a couple of different translators. And as our school principal and our pastor, Director of Deaf Ministries, Pastor Tom Dunseth, and I were there, it became almost immediately obvious that they were understanding our American Sign Language. And as it turned out, Ethiopian Sign Language had about 80% of shared signs with American Sign Language.
Wow.
So we were able to communicate directly with them and learned some Ethiopian signs, and they learned some American sign. Even just last week, I was on a trip and met a deaf man who signed in a French Sign Language. And again, enough shared sign that we were able to communicate, even though I was signing in American Sign Language and he in French Sign Language. But that's not always the case. It depends on the sign language native to that region.
How difficult is it to learn ASL? Is it as hard as learning another language in another spoken language?
It is. It has its own grammatical structure, and it's not word sign for the precise word. It's not English with hand gestures. It is a complete living language with its own grammatical structure, idioms that are different than English. So, obviously someone to be a native signer, children of deaf adults have... are some of the best signers who are hearing because they grow up with it from infancy in the home. But for those of us who learn it later in life, it is like learning a new language, completely new language.
I should imagine there's actually a culture over and above just the linguistic view, because language so shapes culture.
Yeah.
And I should imagine there's actually a culture of the deaf.
Absolutely. Helen Keller was the one who said, blindness separates people from things, but deafness separates people from people. So yes, there is certainly a culture among the deaf and hard of hearing as well. And there's some obviously a different language, but art and cultural mores that occur that are different than, say, our American culture.
My great-grandmother had gone blind, and she always said that she would rather lose her sight than her hearing.
Mm. Yeah, there is a lot of truth to that. My father came down on the other side of the coin, and I'll tell you that he was wrong. I think that when you lose your hearing, you are, as Helen Keller said, separated from the entire universe. And it really crystallized for me when I was waylaid because of a storm in Atlanta, Georgia, the airport, and they had to shut the thing down for a half a day. Thousands of people are in line, rebooking flights, messages, but if you're deaf, you don't hear that.
Ooh.
It really crystallized for me how difficult it is if you're deaf, thrust in a situation like that. And then a follow-up on your earlier question about the culture. Our most recent book, Jesus Heals the Deaf Man, is going to be out soon. But the deaf community takes exception with this because they say there's nothing wrong. We don't need to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that.
It is a very real issue within the deaf community. As biblically sound as it is, mm-hmm. they don't see that as an infirmity or an affliction.
I mentioned to you before we went on the air that I worked for a rather major newspaper publishing company at one point, and I was assigned to their diversity committee. And I remember the head of the committee talking about the other abled, mm-hmm. and I exploded when he said that. For listeners who don't know, I'm hearing impaired myself. And I remember getting up and I won't say I was screaming at the guy, but I was saying, I assure you, I am not other-abled. I am handicapped by this. My life has not been enriched in the least by losing my hearing. I miss music. Mm. I miss hearing birds.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Things that we take for granted.
Yeah.
And as I get older, becomes I'm more painfully aware of that.
Yeah.
It also addresses what I see as emerging markets. And when we talk about the deaf, we often focus only on those that are born deaf. But truth mm-hmm. is, as we live longer, the aging population is inevitably faced with declining hearing. And our conversations with ministers, and one in particular, is very much interested in what he can do in his congregation, because when he preaches, a lot of the people cannot hear the message.
Oh, I've run into that personally. Before I started wearing hearing aids in my church in California, I couldn't hear the pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is technology that will help close that gap. One of them is called a loop system. The other emerging market is the returning military. It surprises a number of people that the third most common affliction of returning military is hearing loss. Mm. When you're in the battlefield and those bombs are going off, it is deafening. And the reality is it ends up you're losing your hearing.
Yeah. And a lot of it's occupational. I mean, that's what happened to me. I've been in radios for so long. And as you can see, I'm wearing headsets right now. You wear headsets every day for 4 hours, 5 hours a day, doing it for empty up years, you're going to lose hearing. And that's what happened to me. My dad was also in the business, and he became profoundly deaf later in his years. So it's a terrible thing. And I, as I mentioned, I resented the people who said I was somehow other-abled because I couldn't hear. I'm aware of what I lost. I remember when I got my first hearing aid, I had to make an appointment at the secretary to come back for it to be checked, and I had my little date book with me, and I remember flipping the pages to the to get the proper date, and I could hear the pages turn. I couldn't hear the pages turn before. We had a rainstorm that night, and I heard rain. I couldn't hear rain before. It was an amazing thing. The culture, I think, is another issue. As you brought out, there were the people who were saying that it's not something that needs to be cured. I'm wondering also, is there a difference between people who are born deaf and those who become deaf later on? I had a friend who was blind, and he became blind as an adult, and he said there is an enormous cultural split in the blind and the sight in the blind community between those who were born sightless and those who became sightless.
That is an accurate observation. Within the deaf community, if you lose it later in life, you're not considered deaf.
Really?
Deaf is when you are born deaf. And we have a number of staffers that fall into that category, and you're not fully accepted or embraced as you and I would think. It's an ongoing challenge.
Well, speaking of challenges, what are your challenges now? Where is your organization going from this point? How are you spreading the word to those who need it?
Sure. So here in the U.S., we obviously have our physical location in Long Island, New York, and we want to serve the individuals who are nearby, so we connect. I'm pretty excited that very soon we're going to be rededicating the chapel in our historic manor house. So we'll have chapel services and opportunities for Christian educational programs there in Long Island, New York. But we also partner with congregations throughout the U.S. We have a congregation in Connecticut and work with churches and have pastors in Michigan, where we can support the efforts of those congregations to serve the families that are members of their congregation who have deaf family members, but also want to reach out to their community and the deaf in the community. Because as ministry efforts, those who serve in deaf ministry have compared notes, it becomes apparent that 95% of the deaf community do not attend church, are not connected to hear about Jesus Christ. So because we're all about sharing Jesus with our neighbors, we want to walk alongside these local communities and congregations to do so. We're also training interpreters in Lutheran and religious vocabulary. We're going to have an interpreter training event and a deaf ministry week in Arizona and Phoenix in late February, so we can help those congregations be prepared, train their interpreters, and do some basic sign language classes for the members so that people can communicate more with the deaf members of the congregation. And then, you know, we look out, and Mike's had a phenomenal vision for international deaf ministry. To talk about that.
Go.
You can see the body language on the radio, but yes, I do. Even as we speak, Reverend Tom Dunsett is in Macau, China. We send them there four times a year in cooperation with the LCMS for a ministry that has been ongoing there. And we're looking to Africa in particular. I've come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit is really active in Africa. I hear stories of people that walk 10, 20 miles a day just to take for granted what we don't drive around the corner for. And it's very clear that we have to be a part of that. And Ethiopia has come up on the radar screen. They have the largest Lutheran population in the world. And it's very clear that we can help them deliver a meaningful ministry to literally thousands and thousands of deaf people in that country. It is not without challenges, and the obvious aside, I think a lot of the emerging markets, families can't even talk to their children. And as a result of that, children grow up into adulthood living in complete isolation. They're not accepted. The cultural issues you were talking about earlier, they are non-persons. They don't exist, and they just spend their entire day in a room. We think we can change that, and we are committing a lot of our energy and a lot of our resources to bringing that gospel message. And it's a message of hope to all of these people, not only spiritually, but physically.
And as you pointed out, there are many, many Lutherans. It's a growing, growing faith in Africa. Our official photographer is a gentleman by the name of Eric Lunsford. I don't know if you've met him yet.
Yes.
But Eric has made many trips to Africa, to Madagascar, Ethiopia, Kenya. And the stories he tells about the faith of these people, their hunger to hear the gospel, it's just, it's inspiring.
It is.
It is truly inspiring.
Yeah.
So you are in St. Louis now, and from your abode in New York, and I know that you've met with President Harrison and other officials of the Synod. Hopefully you've got some answers and some questions and what you need to know and what we need to know to help you. Something Tiffany said is about the working with the local congregations, getting the word out. Every community has got people who are hearing impaired.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So we need to get that message out that this help is available. We can bring the gospel.
And that's why we are excited about this opportunity to chat with you for a little while today, because of your audience. We are open to any information, any questions. Please contact us directly. The information is on our cards.
www.milneck.org.
That is correct.
Well, thank you very much for being a guest on our program today. It has been a delight, and I've learned a lot, and I'm probably going to have to learn ASL one of these days.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you much, and God bless you and your efforts. World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.